Amen. Amen.
Hear again the word of the Lord. And Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In the name of Jesus, amen. We want to be David on the front lines, but we're the Israelites quivering in our tents. We want to be the hero fighting the dragon, but we're the damsel in distress. We want to be Jesus, that mighty warrior in prayer, but we are the disciples asleep in the garden. Tonight's meditation is on our Lord's words, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus has finished his ministry of preaching. He has spent 3 long years teaching the disciples who he is and what he must do. He has preached his great 5 sermons that Matthew records for us. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, where we learned that our righteousness is lacking, where we learn what God truly requires in his holy law. And finally, we are pushed to believe and to understand that Christ must be our righteousness for us, and that he alone is the only foundation that will survive the storms of the last day. He has preached the Sermon on the Ministry in Matthew chapter 10, where he teaches the first pastors that their ministry will involve keeping watch over the sheep and being attacked by the wolves. He has preached his great sermon on preaching, Matthew 13, where Jesus teaches the first pastors what the content of their preaching must be: Christ and him crucified. He is the kingdom of God, and he must be proclaimed to the church. They, as the preachers, will bring forth treasures old and new. That is, they will proclaim Christ in the Old and New Testaments. Jesus has preached his great sermon on the church, Matthew 18, where Jesus teaches that the church is the place where God forgives sins, that in the midst of the gathered Christians, through his word, Christ forgives sins. And finally, he has taught his great sermon on stewardship in Matthew 23-25, where Jesus denounces the stewards, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as false stewards that have not rightly used their office of preaching. And he admonishes his disciples to stay awake as the final day approaches. They are stewards of his treasure, not their own. We have heard these 5 sermons in Matthew, if we've been reading Matthew thus far. And along the way, we've heard all kinds of other events and things in Jesus' life. For example, Peter has made his great confession: "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And at that time, Jesus began to tell the disciples what that meant: that the Son of Man must suffer, be killed, and on the third day rise. The disciples have all the information before them. They've been taught everything they need to know. Their eyes have been opened. But the flesh is weak. Here on Maundy Thursday, we find Jesus hard at work, praying and fasting before his crucifixion. Luke tells us that Jesus is sweating blood as he prays. That is the intensity with which Jesus prays in the garden as he looks forward to his suffering and death. Judas likewise is hard at work. He left in the middle of supper to go betray his teacher. But what are the disciples doing? Sleeping. However willing their spirits were, their flesh was weak, and they fell asleep when Jesus told them to stay awake. Let us sit with that for a moment. The disciples and you have been warned. Stay awake. Pray, keep watch. Jesus has spent two chapters, Matthew 24 and 25, making that very point. But they can't even stay awake and keep watch for an hour. Prayer is under the heading of the second commandment. The second commandment is not kept by merely cleaning up your GDs, although that's included in it. What does the Lord teach us? He says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." The commandments are not only forbidding the negative, the misusing of God's name, but they also command the positive. In this case, the commandment is to use God's name rightly, properly. What is the proper use of God's name? It is everything we use His name for in our speech. It includes proper teaching and right prayer. So let us examine ourselves and consider, are all of my words pleasing to God? Do I use God's name for teaching and prayer? Have I neglected to pray to Him in trials and suffering, trusting that God wants me to give His anxieties to Him in prayer? Have I allowed my own sin to prevent me from praying to God? Have I taught falsely? As we consider this second commandment and how we have broken it, repent. Repent where you have broken this commandment of God, especially your neglect of prayer. Confess your sins to God, dear Christians, and hear the gospel. Although the disciples slept in their weakness, the Lord was busy praying for them. And although you fall prey to sickness, exhaustion, and even despair, the Lord continues to pray for you. The Lord does not promise to help the strong. He does not, the Lord helps those who help themselves is not in the Bible. That's not a proverb. The Lord does not promise to only help those who can help themselves, only the energetic, only those who are righteous on their own, as if that were possible, only the young, only the pious. No. He became man for the weak, for the sick, for sheep without shepherds, for sinners in need of repentance. He does not promise to help you only when you're strong and able to return the favor. What does He say? He says in Matthew 11, "Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He promises in Psalm 121, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Tonight, dear Christians, that is your great comfort. For in Gethsemane, the Lord stays awake and prays in the garden for you. When you are too sick to think straight or too exhausted to string words together into sentences, he who keeps you neither slumbers nor sleeps. When you are vexed enough that you don't know what to pray, he prays for you. He speaks his word to you. You are his beloved child. He tells you that in the scriptures. You're part of the new Israel. By his grace, your spirit is indeed willing. But still in this sinful world, your flesh is weak. But it will not always be this way. For you, he is given over his pure and holy body to scourges and nails, to the cross and to the grave. He suffered and died for you. And he also rose for you. And now, ascended on high, he watches over you day and night until the day of resurrection, when he will raise you up incorruptible, pure and holy, perfectly. Are you weary? Are you tired? Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. And if you are so tired that you can't even make the words form together, be comforted in this promise. The Lord is your strength and your deliverer. Even now he prays for you. He kneels in that garden for your sake, to accomplish God's will for you, to bring to an end your sinful flesh, and finally to kill it. That, of course, is a now not yet reality. It's accomplished through the cross, through baptism, and it is now taking place through the hearing of God's word, through confession and absolution. The drowning of your old Adam is an ongoing reality in this life. But make no mistake, dear Christian. Though you are weary of your flesh, Christ is not tired of forgiving you. And though you are exhausted, he is coming quickly. So let us pray, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.